Let's turn now to Jeremiah chapter 3, because we want to get right into this idea of God as our Father. Now, last week in chapter 3 of Jeremiah, we saw, and it was a great discovery for me to read Jeremiah 3 really slow when getting ready to study this on Sunday morning, to find out that we are revealed that God is like a husband to us and God is like a father to us, right here in chapter 3 of Jeremiah. So last week we covered the husbandry of God, God being our husband, and how he wants to really watch out over us like a good husband, a wife, and be totally in love with us like a good husband is with a wife. And so today, we're going to see him as a father. So in chapter 3 of Jeremiah, and verse 4 is where we left off last week, and it says this, "Will you not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth." A precious verse, "My Father, thou art the guide of my youth." Now, some of them were faking this and saying this in the wrong way, but you know what? It is nevertheless the truth. He is our Father, and he is the guide, even from our youth. And that's why I was so moved today with the preschool and with the situation there, because these little tiny kids from such a young age are being taught about Jesus, and they're experiencing the love of Jesus in our hallways, and that is huge and indescribably wonderful. And to see them and hear them speaking about the Lord and mindful that Jesus loves them is just so important. I think of Ecclesiastes 12:1, where Solomon says this, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." When? In the days of your youth. You start out with the Lord. You get your foundation in the Lord. And this encourages all of us as parents, grandparents, and any activity or involvement we have with little kids to always bring them Jesus. It's so good. That when they do all their observation, which they do continually, don't they? Do you ever take a little kid on a little outing, and some of them just don't stop, you know, with questions. And you know, if you begin to think, you know what, I'm going to answer them with Scripture. How about that? And I don't have to quote the King James, you know, they go, whoa. But you just, you know, keep the Scripture in mind and what the Scriptures say about things. And God made this and God made that. And God's so good to us. And they grow up with that. That's priceless, absolutely priceless, to remember the Lord in the days of your youth. The conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes in verse 13 of the same chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And so God is crying out through Jeremiah as a father to these folks that are in rebellion. Yes, the whole duty of you, the whole duty of men, is to keep his commandments and fear him, respect him. And in our studies last week, we really dwelt upon the word remember. Remember. Remember, as we do here at our church every month, we have communion. It is a memorial service to remember the death of Jesus on the cross for us. Now today we're going to concentrate on return. Return, because we remember and we return. In the book of Ephesians, or not Ephesians, Revelation, when Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesians and was upset with them because they left their first love, the one thing he had against them, they left their first love, they went away from the Lord. But what did he say to them? Remember from whence you are come, and repent, and do your first works. Remember how it was when you first fell in love with Jesus, when you were first really close to him. and how you just were so in love with the Lord because He's delivered you and set you free. Remember, return. And so this is what we have today as the Father speaking here. So with that, we'd like to go ahead and turn to verses 24 and 25 in Jeremiah chapter 3. These are the last two verses in the chapter. It speaks here again about youth. And I want to say something about youth here. Now, it says, "For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers." Remember, these people were in rebellion. "And shame has devoured them. From our youth, we were raised in dysfunctional households." Boy, that sounds familiar. I mean, so many of us here at church together, as we love each other, find out about our upbringing, and so many of our households are dysfunctional. This is what these people were suffering with. "For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame and our confusion." A household that's dysfunctional, that's not seeking the Lord, it becomes a pit of confusion. Nothing but confusion. And the children don't know what end is up. They don't know. And there's confusion. "Confusion covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, and we are fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord." Now, I'd like to bring even encouragement in this situation, because so many of us have experienced really hard upbringings. There are people in our church that have suffered abuse in the worst kinds in the households they were brought up in. And it is the saddest thing. And, you know, my first dad left me when I was 2.5, and my stepdad actually beat my mom with the belt and was really abusive in the family. And it was really neat because after I grew up and got married and I found Jesus, my Father, "Call no man father, but your Father in heaven." And that's why the Lord says that, because He's the only perfect one. We've had fathers after the flesh that disciplined us according to their pleasure, but He always for our profit. And we can look to Him. And my stepdad visited. It was really a neat moment. And he observed how I handled my boys and I was with my lovely sons. And he said afterwards, with regret in his voice, he said, "Mark, I am so sorry for the way I raised you." He said, I am so impressed with how you treat your boys." And I said, "Dad, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's all Jesus. And it's the most wonderful thing to know Him, isn't it? And this is why I love the Lord so much. He's my Father. He's my Father." That was not instituted through Jesus Christ when Jesus taught us to pray and said, "When you pray, pray our Father." It was instituted in the Old Testament because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we read this verse about my Father, "Thou shalt not turn from me." It is beautiful to stay right straight with Him because He's our dad. He's our papa. And He takes good care of His children. And so I'd like to encourage you that might have had a hard upbringing, might have experienced even some abuse that you're trying to get past, and there's bitterness there, and you're having a hard time being a Christian because you can't trust God the Father because your dad was so bad to you. You need to give it up to the Lord and let Him be your Father. Come into a new birth, forgetting that which is behind and pressing on to that which lies ahead with God as your Father. And I'd like to take you now to a really neat verse in the New Testament that explains this so beautifully. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and starting at verse 17. And it says this, "And if you call on the Father, there's that word again, Father, oh yes, Father. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here on earth in respect and fear for Him. Oh, it is such a precious thing to totally put all your respect and all your godly fear in the Father that's from heaven. He's the maker and author of our faith. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed or bought with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or vain manner of living. You might have had a home where there was a lot of vanity going on, and even in yourself. And vain conversation can also be translated vain manner of living, received by tradition from your fathers. Now the scripture says this in the Ten Commandments, actually, that the sins of the fathers are passed down to the third and fourth generation of the children. That you and I will have tendencies to do the same mistakes that Grandpa did and Dad. We'll have tendencies to be that way. But you know what? We get redeemed from that with Jesus Christ. It's a whole new ball game. All the old things are passed away and all things have become new. And that chain of passing down sins to the next generation is broken as you become a Jesus man or a Jesus woman. And you look to the Lord as your Father. So even though they were messed up from their youth, as we read about in the last two verses of Jeremiah 3, it's not too late if they would just return to Him. Just repent and turn to Him. And this is what Jeremiah is crying out from his heart to them. But we were bought with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So He was available not just to us in the New Testament, but to them in the Old Testament, because He was ordained before the foundation of the world to pay the price for sin and to help people come into true salvation. In these last times for you. You know, it's neat. I put a little box around the word Father in verse 17. Father, He's our Father. And then the two words at the end of verse 20, for you. He's a Father for you. He's a Father for me. He is my good Dad, my wonderful King, and my close friend. He's everything. And it is the most precious thing to see, is it not? Yes. Well, let's go on back now to Jeremiah chapter 3. And we want to go on with this subject. Now, it says we want to look at verse 5 again. Jeremiah 3, verse 5 says, will He reserve His anger forever? That's a question. And God's asking that question through Jeremiah. Will He reserve His anger forever? And the people are asking that. Will He keep it to the end? Behold, the Lord speaking to the people, thou hast spoken, and I have done evil as you could. You have done evil as you could. You've been very bad. You guys have all been bad, really bad. You're bad, you're bad. Man, baby, you're no good. And so it's the truth of it. And so they're just wondering here, you know, will He reserve? Will He reserve His anger forever? What's the answer to that question? Well, it's in verse 12. Let's go to verse 12. Let's go to verse 12 of Jeremiah chapter 3. Go and proclaim these words towards the north, the Lord says to Jeremiah, and say, return. There's that word, return. Come back. Thou backsliding Israel, says the Lord. And I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful. Now, this is a huge New Testament teaching, isn't it? Merciful God is merciful. It's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. And He's not only merciful in the New Testament, but He's saying right here in the Old Testament, I am merciful, says the Lord. And then He answers the question, I will not keep anger forever. That's what He's about. He loves mercy. He says, what should we do as men to obey God? We should do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And that brings us to the next verse in verse 13. How do you even begin to return to God? When maybe you've had a lousy youth, maybe you've been affected that way and you're going the wrong way. God can do anything. And it says here in verse 13, only, I like that word, only, I can dig that word, only acknowledge your iniquity. Wow. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. And so this thing called repentance, this thing called turning around, this thing called acknowledging, agreeing with, confessing your sin to the Lord, and He can change the whole picture of your life and turn you into a love farm that's just loving Him and loving the people around you with all your heart. And just moved and touched and soft in the heart and having tears of emotion because you just know that you love these people around you because God's put love in your heart. It's as simple as that. God does that. And God just does that through confession of sin. Only acknowledge your iniquity. Agree with God. Don't fight against it. Don't fight against Him and His promptings and His fatherhood duties to correct you. But be ready to give it up. Just give it up and say it up and ask the forgiveness. We love 1 John 1:9, don't we? Where it says, if you will confess your sins, He is faithful to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and He's just and He will cleanse you, wash you clean from all unrighteousness, but you've got to fess up. You've got to say, yes, Lord, I agree with you. I'm on your side. I remember I used to chase the boys around the house sometimes and put my t-shirt up on my head. I could really look scary. And chase them through the house. And when Jeremiah was real small, youngest son, he just said, Dad, I'm on your side. So that's how he'd get out of it, right? Yeah, that's a man of great wisdom. He's still got great wisdom. And it's wonderful. He agreed with the Father. I'm on your side. And that's what God wants from us. To just tell Him that we're on His side. Lord, I can see that You got a lot of work to do with me, and I'm agreeing with You 100%. And you know what that turns into? This glorious communication and conversation with your Creator and your God and your husband-to-be and your Father. It just is wonderful to sense the peace that comes through that communication and that agreement with Him. Only acknowledge your iniquity is what He's saying to return. Come back to Me. And so that's what He's saying right there. Now, with this, we'd like to turn to Psalm 32, because this is graphically described by King David, who knew about how it felt to be silent before God and how it felt then to finally confess and finally agree with God about his iniquity. And so let's go to Psalm 32 and the first 7 verses. Now the real happy man, or the real happy woman, that's blessed internally and externally in their lives, that's the person whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man or woman, this means man generic, unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. It's not in your account. Your iniquity is not kept in your account in heaven anymore. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him, put to his account as righteousness. As we confess the sin, only acknowledge your iniquity. So we confess that. Then he's just and faithful to forgive the sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So blessed is the man whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. There's no deceit. You're not trying to lie to God. You're not trying to hide stuff from God. You're just fessing it up. I always love that picture, and I share this through the years sometimes, but it just, that picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking at like your front door. He comes to your house. And Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. And actually, this is the door to your heart, but just this picture of knocking on the door. And if any man will open the door, he will come in and have dinner with you, sup with you, have this sweet fellowship of the Creator with the Createe. But you know, sometimes you can let him into the living room, throw all the sin in the closet. And maybe you've had this experience, you know, somebody's coming over and you just hear they're on their way. And so you throw everything in the closet. You know, just hide it all. And then they come. And the living room looks pretty good. But Jesus will come into the living room and he'll go right past you and start knocking on the closet door. Because he wants to get to the root of the problem. He wants you to be transparent before him. Open door. Open book. Lord, this is all about me. And if you found something unclean in me, I want to hear about it. Speak to me about it, Lord. Shine your light on me. Search me, O God, and see my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting. And so he'll go to that next door and he'll knock, and he keeps knocking until you open all of it up. And there it is. There's no guile, no deceit in that man that has the Lord not imputing iniquity to him. Now it goes on and says in verse 3, when I kept silence. Now David here gives us how it feels to be silent about your sin with the Lord. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. It's so neat the way David is able to put into words what you and I feel. That's why it's so great to read the Psalms, isn't it? You really can get in touch with the feelings. My bones are roaring all day long. This is going so deep into me. This feeling of being apart from God and keeping back from him in some kind of silent deal, that I feel like my bones are roaring all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Now, you know, the experts say that most of America is dehydrated. Did you know that? That was scary to me. I thought, geez, I'm dehydrated. And, you know, dehydration can make you dizzy. It can give you fainting spells. And many times doctors will say, just go home and drink a lot of water. You're supposed to drink 8 little bottles a day. And it is, it must be God's sense of humor, but as you get older, you have to go to the bathroom all the time. And so you think, man, I can't drink any more water, but Then you get dehydrated. So just your pick on which way you want to go, you know. But dehydration is awful. And you know how it feels. Where it says, day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. It's like laying out in the sun with no iced tea and no tree. And just sweating like a dog. And that's what it feels like. To be silent before God. But then, praise God for verse 5, for it says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity I have not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And what did the Lord do? You forgave the iniquity of my sin. And then what happens? Verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. And that's where we want to be. We want to be able to have the songs of deliverance. Remember one time at Disneyland, we were in the slide thing. What's that called? The thing that... Splash Mountain. And they sing Dippity Doo-Dah, you know, in the tunnel while you're waiting. And I love that song, so I just started singing it. Dippity Doo-Dah, dippity. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. You know, and I just got going on that. And then my kids joined in with me because we were having fun, and grandkids started singing. Then the whole tunnel started singing that song. And I'm telling you, how good does that feel? That was such a blessing. Man, I felt like the king of the cats or something, you know? And we were catting around and just having a great time. And it's the kind of thing, just to put something human to it, God begins to encompass you with songs of deliverance when you get straight with Him. And you get this sweet, sweet fellowship with God Almighty. And you wake up in the middle of the night and He gives you songs in the night. And you'll be remembering songs from worship. Worship songs will come to your heart. And you don't know how that sprung in there. It just sprung in there. And you just got this ditty going and you're just worshiping the Lord. It's huge what happens when we decide to give it up, to confess it forth, get it dealt with, and let God deliver us. And then He can speak to you. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And another translation says, with my eye upon you. His eye on us. As a father, a good father, disciplining us for our profit only. He doesn't do it for His pleasure. He does it for our profit. And it's awesome what goes on. So there it is. King David. I love King David. I love this man. And he is one of God's beauties and really knows how to say it, doesn't he? But it's actually the Holy Spirit, because God's the author of all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So now back in Jeremiah 3, this fatherhood of the Lord is mentioned one more time. We don't want to skip that. Let's go to verse 19 in Jeremiah chapter 3. Actually, last week we did verses 14 through 18, so we're not skipping anything. But we go to verse 19, and it says, but I said, how shall I put you among the children? Oh yeah, I want to be among the children of God. As many as received Him, gave He power to become the children of God. Please put me in the children, Lord. And give you a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of the nations, speaking to Israel. And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. That's how it's done. It's by accepting the Lord as our Father, our Director, our Instructor, the One who knows best, and acknowledge our shortcomings to Him, that He can correct them and change them and cause us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He's our Father, our righteous Father, the Father that never does anything wrong. And that can sometimes become frustrating to you. If you have an argument with God, guess who's right? Every single time. Glory to God. So let's go on to verse 22 then. And it says, return, return. Again, we have this word return. You backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Thank God, our backslidings can be healed. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Did you know that that's exactly what the word Jesus means? That the Lord our God is salvation? Jesus literally means the Lord is salvation. That's what Jesus means. And in the Hebrew, it's Joshua, Jehovah Shua. The Lord is salvation. And so here we have it right here in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 23 at the end. Now this idea of people looking and hoping that the hills or the mountains can bring salvation to them. You know that psalm where it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the hills. No. It says my help comes from the Lord. I can lift up my eyes to the hills all I want. I can be a tree hugger and be saying, oh, mighty tree, help me. And I can be worshiping nature like so many try to say, oh yeah, I just find God out in the nature, man. I'm a nature tree-hugging lover. Doesn't make it. It's vain emptiness, hoping for salvation in the hills or from the multitude of mountains. For truly, verily, truly is the Lord our God. He is the salvation of Israel. Let's look at verse 6 again, just in review real quick. It says, the Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up to every high mountain and under every green tree, and there has played the harlot. And what they would do up there in the green trees and the high mountains is verse 9. It came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. They would make images of their gods, like totem poles with the wood, the stocks, or the wood totem poles. You know, I thought a little bit of the American Indians here, to be honest with you, that many of them were worshiping false gods with their totem poles and their idols and needed to be converted. And so many of them were, and it's such a blessing to know that. But also with the stones. And you can go to any museum that you pick, and you can find stone images that were dug up somewhere of little idols that people worshipped in those days. So God is saying, you know, stay away from the hills. Stay away from under every green tree with your idols. Salvation belongs to the Lord. That's a quote from Psalm chapter 3, verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved except the man Christ Jesus. That is the only name that can save you. The only person. Salvation is from the Lord. That's why we have to see Him as our Father, our husband, our older brother, and just know that He is the guide and leader of our lives. He is our salvation. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray together, and then we'll have the band come back up and sing. So let's pray. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for these great scriptures from Jeremiah. we see again and are so blessed, Lord, that the New Testament fits right together perfectly like a puzzle with the Old Testament. The things that we learn again and again in the New Testament are right here in the Old Testament. You are our Father. You are merciful. You do not retain your anger when we repent and we turn. And Lord, thank you, Father, for this opportunity for them and this opportunity for us, Lord. And so we're thankful, Father. Thank you, Lord. So I do feel that we would be remiss to not have a time of silence, just a few moments here, that you can take any offenses, any sin that God might show you that's in your life, straight to the throne. God has no grandchildren. He just has children. It doesn't tell us that he's a grandfather. He's just a father. And so I need to get real personal with Dad. And so I go to the Lord. I ask him to search my heart. And then go ahead and agree with him. Confess to him. Acknowledge your iniquity. And God will cleanse you from all of it. And take you and put you on his road. And so let's have this moment of silence now where you can talk to the Lord from the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And so it's a heart time right now. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we do thank you again and again that as we confess, you forgive. You cleanse from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the assurance of pardon that we can receive just now. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We always want you to know that the prayer room is open for you, and Debbie's on her way. There it is. Ta-da! So you can come for prayer. We do have free Bibles in there if you need a Bible. God bless you guys.